Imagine you are in a prison cell and in a dungeon, a deep, dark dungeon, the deepest dungeon in the biggest castle, deep underground, and your jailers tell you that you can use as much power as you like to light your cave, but you must are limited to using a light source only 1 square centimeter in area, something the size of your fingernail. And so you have the task of getting the brightest source possible. Now, this problem sounds a bit fictitious. Hopefully it's got you thinking about it. There's a problem which various electricity lighting companies asked before the turn of last century, in the late 1890s. They were producing electricity and they wanted to know what would be the ultimate amount of electricity coming out, because there seemed to be some sort of limit involved in it and they couldn't quite work it out. So they asked one of the great scientists of the age, Max Planck, to see if he could work it out. And he came up with a story called Black Body Radiation, a couple of surprising answers. And this is, you've guessed it, Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. But in this case, we're going to take a tour of Planck's black body radiation formula. And as you've probably heard before, I'm in cardiac rehab and various things, getting the technology, the cognitive part, the actual breathing, all those little bits and pieces, slowly wending it together. But sort of psychologically, you've got to come out of the place where you've just been quietly saying, gee, that explanation, well, look, that's wrong, or that's coming up a bit short. So that's basically, well, virtually every internet explanation on black body radiation I've heard before, and even diagrams are incorrect. And if that's a bit worrisome, actually, fellow teachers discussing this, they reach a certain point and then they, I don't know, become quite aggressive and you can't speak to them anymore. So that type of stuff is where I've come from, and I consciously really don't want to repeat any of the errors that you endure in the internet. Wikipedia is good, yep, I grant that, but a whole lot of other media and other diagrams have vast problems with it, and although you're not really supposed to do it, my experience in spectroscopy gives ideas more, not as a black body, as a light form or the shape of light. It's more as a light limit curve, the limit of total light coming through. So we'll discuss that in a bit more. So the story for this starts with Wedgwood. Wedgwood was a famous family which made its money out of making knockoffs of Chinese pottery. So Chinese pottery was more technically advanced than British, and the British had industrial kilns to produce massive industrial production of this pottery. And they had to actually get pottery of the right temperature shape. So if you heated it up too much, it would crack and be brittle. If you didn't heat it up enough, the glaze wouldn't go. There'd be all these problems. You have to heat it up to get it absolutely perfectly. And of course, the more exotic potteries required more exotic heating profiles. So you had these things like bone china. And so you had to actually be able to get look at the oven and work out what the temperature is. And the Wedgwoods apparently were able to tell the temperature by just looking at the colour or the hue of the light coming out of their little hole. So if you've ever seen a kiln before, it's a big pot and there's a little spy hole so you can look in so the heat doesn't escape, but you can observe in. And that's really much that kiln idea is gone on to something called a black body radiator further on. But that firstly gave us the first law, which is Wien's law. W Oh, E-I-N? Look, unfortunately, I'm dyslexic. You're going to have to look this up. Winslow. And Winslow stated, this is a rather interesting thing, that the if you found the peak wavelength and wrote that down as a number, so red light would be, 700 nanometers. I don't know what units they used back then. Or blue light would be 400 nanometers. Let's say for the sake of answers, ultraviolet light would be 350. Notice that I've selected 700 and 350. The actual temperature of the thing emitting that light, this is not necessarily a lamp, but this is just something which is really hot, like something in a kiln, looking inside the coal box of a steam train, or looking inside a kiln, or looking at a hot piece of metal taken out of a blacksmith's forge, temperature of that object can be determined by the wavelength, and it's determined by a formula, and we're going to go through a few formulas very quickly, and that's called Wien's law, and that is that the wavelength times the temperature equals a constant. So in this case, if something is glowing at 350 nanometers, which is billionths of a meter, as opposed to 700, it's actually twice as hot. And this is a fantastic way that you can actually, if you can measure the wavelength, you can go on the wavelength, actually look up this curve, it's a one-on curve, one on the wavelength, and you read it across to get the temperature. And we get the temperature. At this point in time, I actually want to stop and pause and consider what temperature is. Temperature is a single number for a big thing, a big statistical mechanical thing. So big statistical mechanical things, when it's statistical mechanics, you could think of that as gambling. There's a whole lot of random minor interactions which go on. Some produce excess energy, and those things with advanced energy flow in and lose their energy off to other interactions. So on average, the interactions have an average energy. And that average kinetic energy, we'll call that kinetic energy, moving energy, per the particles is called, it's related to the temperature. So if I say the temperature of an iceberg is the same as the temperature of an ice cube, I'm saying that the inner iceberg, a huge iceberg, if I just take a look at an individual water molecule moving about the place, it's the same as a individual water molecule moving in an ice cube. Or if I put in it, if you say I have an unfortunate explorer which is frozen inside it, and I actually look inside and actually chip of his teeth at the temperature of those little calcium phosphate molecules in their teeth, the actual energy is moving there. So temperature is a statistical mechanical thing. Now, if I was to, and statistical mechanics is basically the result of playing a game of dice over and over again. If, for instance, I was to suddenly hit that frozen explorer with a laser beam, I could actually heat a little section of him up. Or, more importantly, I could heat in that little section I heat up, what I would heat up first, perhaps, is the electrons. So the electrons would be different at a different temperature. So all the actual particles in something called in thermal equilibrium will be at the same temperature, except if they're not. So if you just suddenly change the temperature, some things will reach the new temperature faster than the other. This is called not in thermal equilibrium. It's an important thing. It's an important thing later on. So our first number that we're coming across is Wien's law, and that is the wavelength of light times the temperature equals a constant. The next one up is a bit more practical or relevant to our issue, and that is for a black body radiator. A black body radiator has got a quality factor, star factor of 1, and other things have a star factor of less than 1, depending on how shiny they are. Okay, a black body radiator is the most efficient, and it's the amount of light coming out of that. So the total amount of light I can get out of a black body radiator is proportional to this experimental number, and it's sigma, which is just a fudge factor, T to the fourth. And so let's do some of the maths here. T to the temperature to the fourth power. So if I double the temperature of the filament, this 1 square centimeter filament, which reduces the speed limit of the actual envelope of maximum light at any wavelength out, it will produce, if I double the temperature, it will produce 2 times 2, which is 4, times 2 is 8, times 2 is 16. 16 times more power. So if it was at one temperature producing 100 watts, if I double the temperature, it will be producing 1.6 kilowatts of power. This is a pretty amazing fact. And of course, all these formulas, these two formulas, the first one's called Wien's, the second one's called Stefan's formula. These two laws, if you were hunting, if you were taking interviewing people for a murder, and these would come out as clear clues. You keep on going back to this can't be. You know, how did people know to come at a particular time? How did people know to do a particular thing? These are very odd things that for an object of a temperature, and I tell you that the temperature is a construct relying on all objects being in thermal equilibrium, exchanging itself. We get Wien's law, which is temperature times wavelength equals a constant, and Stefan's law, which is the total amount of power put out in watts is proportional to T to the fourth. These are two things I can put together. So your red light is not going to produce, if you heat something up, it will be red, and then if you really crank up the energy, it will produce a huge amount of more light, but it will be more blue or white. Do you know that in a radiator, you know it yourself, if you've got a little radiator, you put it on low, it's a red orangey light, or if I put it on really hot, it goes actually white light. And it's interesting, this spectrum. The lambda on the Wien's law is the peak wavelength, so it can be green or yellow or anything, because I'm looking at the amount of light, get the rainbow out, and I put an X next to the color, which is the brightest, the most intense. So if I barely turn on the radiator, it'll be red and disappear, but if I increase it more, I may actually get the brightest light. If it's around 6,000 degrees, the brightest light will be around yellow or green. I'll put a cross against the most intense light. So that's one aspect. The overall color is a composite of those colors. It's called a black body impression. If you can look at your eyes are these spectrometers which put it together. But then I also have the amount of light, the total amount of power coming out, and you will recognize that. That all seems to make perfect sense. The fact that this is a law, and these are laws, really speak to the fact that it's deeper physics. And again, your first step towards deeper physics, where basically the formula is fudged, and the deeper physics was said, I don't know what the deeper physics is, but it's in this formula, was by this Max Planck. And I'll do another podcast on Max Planck. Was he a Nazi? And you can judge for yourself. And again, I don't like these YouTubes and podcasts which put a view and don't tell you both sides of the story or expect you to believe them, or you try to establish your credibility and try to convince people. You judge for yourself whether Max Planck was indeed a Nazi or how close he was to being a Nazi. The thing with Max Planck, he had something where what would happen is that we had a little power meter. So you can have it in photography. This is a power meter which tells you the amount of light. And so he was able to, or everyone was around the time, was able to produce these things called light curves for black body radiators. So black body radiators, which was a little heated up piece of carbon, was the top light source of its age. And we have slightly more advanced light sources now, which can actually beat them. We'll get back onto that. But you're able to produce a curve called a black body curve, a spectral curve. So if you imagine red to blue, I'm going to say that red to blue, but frequency written on the bottom page. Now, when I say frequency and wavelength, this is something you'll have to study at school or study up, that a wavelength times the frequency equals the speed of the light, and the speed of light is constant. So wavelength times frequency, if you say one thing, I know the other. It's sort of like, I don't know, I'll have to think of some example of where if I say one thing, you can judge the other. It's sort of almost to say how old you are. For a kid, how old are you? If you're not going to tell me, or tell me how many years it is before your 21st birthday, they tell you the other. So one or the other tells you the same thing. So wavelength and frequency. I'm going to use frequency because frequency is sort of a magic thing to use. It's how often the light bounces up and down. So blue light bounces up and down a lot more. There's a lot more energetic bouncing up and down. We can actually tell you that. His formula was of the following form. And remember, there's going to have to be a temperature in it. And I will leave out as many constants as possible. So this is the bare bones of the formula. And I'm telling you that I'm leaving out constants. So it's the frequency cubed times this other one, which is a fraction. And this fraction is frequency cubed, so frequency times frequency times frequency, times, into brackets, 1 on E to the frequency on the temperature, now there's constants in there, minus 1. Now, this is a bit freaky, when the E is an exponential. It's like an x to the, x squared, or say 2 squared, 2 cubed. So it's a little bit more. E is a number which is just a smidgen more than 2. I wouldn't believe I'd ever say that. E is about 10% more than 2. There you go. I can't believe saying that. So, really, roughly, we could replace, if you're not content with the letter E, E refers to a number a bit more than 2, to a good approximation. I'm almost ripping my teeth out saying this. It's the frequency cubed into 1 on 2 to the frequency on the temperature minus 1. We don't use 2, we use E, which is a number a little bit bigger than 2, but it's a special 2 and a bit. There you go. And that gives you the amount of light for a particular temperature at any frequency. So if I put in a temperature of 1,000 degrees, given that there's all these constants in here to actually make it work, I put in a frequency and start putting in different frequencies, it will plot this curve, which will, for very low frequencies, start off at 0 and then go up to a maximum frequency. You guessed it, at the same peak as the Wayne's Law one, if you put in frequency and wavelength, and then drop down again. But it will have an area underneath it, which is the total power output, the frequency, the intensity at each frequency. It will have an area equal to Stefan's Law, T to the fourth. And it all comes out. It's amazing to see it, see this integral all come out. So there's a bit of maths. I've tried to give you this simplest introduction to it. And what we'll do next time is, next podcast will be, I suppose, a combination was Max Planck, the key person, a Nazi, and try to give you the quantum mechanics derivation of Max Planck's formula and a feel for why this is the lid on the total amount of energy a statistical mechanical, a temperature driven system can give out, and how the sun can be a range of temperatures. I can look at different parts of the sun and see, well, that part of the sun is a million degrees and this part of the sun is 5,000 degrees. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on doing science.